Now, the verse of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 43 of Acts chapter number 10. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Many years ago, on occasion when I was doing outreach and over in County Donegal, I can remember speaking to a Roman Catholic gentleman about his great need of salvation and of being saved. And in course of conversation with that man, we talked about many things regarding the Bible and the Word of God and the things of salvation. In the midst of that conversation, he said these words. He says, "How can anyone be sure of their sins forgiven here on earth, here upon the scene of time?" And his thinking was that no one really can be sure or certain about having their sins forgiven here on earth. And maybe this is the thinking of one here in this meeting place tonight. Maybe in recent times, God has been speaking to you. Maybe through the preaching of God's word, or maybe through the witness of another Christian or a friend, about your need of salvation. Your need to be right with God and to be prepared for death and to be prepared for eternity and to be prepared for heaven. In the midst of all these things going through your heart and mind, you have maybe wondered, can I really be sure? Can I really be certain of knowing and of having my sins forgiven this side of God's eternity? Dear friend, if that is the thinking of your heart and your mind tonight, I want to say to you from the Word of God upon the authority of Scripture that you can be sure, that you can be certain of knowing and having your sins forgiven. And you read about this great certainty of knowing your sins forgiven in our text here this evening in verse number 43 of Acts chapter 10, where Peter here is speaking about the Lord Jesus, and he says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now, the background to this chapter is such that it tells us about a man called Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion in the Roman army of occupation in the land of Israel at that particular time. And through a vision at that time, God spoke to Cornelius and God warned him about his need to have his sins forgiven and about his need of God's salvation. And in warning him through this vision, God tells this man Cornelius to send for Peter. The Apostle Peter, one of the Lord's apostles, who was now living in the place called Joppa, and he would tell them how to be saved. And Peter responds to this call for help, and he goes to the house of Cornelius. Turn back to the earlier part of the chapter, you'll see this. Look at verse 21 and down to verse number 24. It just fills you in the background to our text. And it says, "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. And what is the cause? Wherefore are you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews." You'll see that this man, Cornelius, was a man of excellent credentials and standing, so to speak, even amongst the Jewish people. And remember, he was a Roman soldier. He was a member of an army of occupation, yet he had a good standing amongst the people. And it says about this man, Cornelius, notice it in the middle of verse 22, that he was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee, that is Peter, into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. You see, these men they went to where Peter was. And they told Peter the reason of their errand, that Cornelius had sent them and that Cornelius wanted to hear the things of God. And Peter responds to this call. He obeys the Lord's leading at this time, and he goes to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius isn't just there himself, but he gathers his friends and maybe family members and loved ones and neighbors also into the house to hear the words of Peter. Our Bible reading tonight is really the record of Peter's sermon that he preached in the house of Cornelius at that time. And in verse number 43, you'll see there that Peter speaks to Cornelius and those that were gathered also with him in the house about the forgiveness of sins. When he speaks to him of Christ, and he says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." What a message Cornelius and those in the house heard that day from the lips of the Apostle Peter. Tonight, friends, in this gospel meeting, it is the same vital matter of sins forgiven that I want each one in this meeting tonight to think about and to consider and to ponder. And my prayer is that each one of you in this meeting, whether you're old or young, whatever your background is in life, whatever your standing in life is, that you will know, that you will have this assurance within your heart of the greatest of all blessings, yes, the most important of all blessings. That is the blessing of your sins forgiven in the sight not of man, but in the sight of God, your Maker, and in the sight of God, your Creator. Notice first of all here with me from this verse, notice how it just speaks to us about the reality of sins forgiven. It says to him, "Give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Notice those final words there at the end of the verse where it speaks of remission of sins. You stop there and you think about that word remission. What does it mean? That word remission really means to send away. And it speaks of God forgiving, or if you like, God putting away man's sin from before his sight. Thus you see here that Cornelius, indeed all in his house on that occasion, they were left in no doubt whatsoever that they could have their sins forgiven this side of eternity. That their sins forgiven was a very real experience for them to know and to enjoy here on earth. And friend, in our meeting tonight, can I say also, this is a tremendous blessing for you also to enjoy and to experience here on earth in this side of God's eternity. Oh, the reality of your sins being forgiven by God. What a blessing. You read of a king in the Old Testament by the name of Hezekiah, and he rejoiced in this wonderful blessing in his own life. Speaking to the Lord in prayer in the book of Isaiah, he said these words. He says, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And he was speaking to God, and he had that assurance that all his sins had been forgiven, that God, so to speak, had cast them all behind his back, that they were pardoned, that they were blotted out. The hymn writer also spoke of this same great blessing as well. Speaking of God, they could say, "Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee." What was the hymn writer talking about there? They were speaking about this great reality, this great experience of knowing one's sins forgiven. Over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, in the verse number 26, the question is asked, "Who then can be saved?" And by the implication really of that question is simply this: who can know, who can be sure of their sins forgiven? And in the very next verse, verse 27 of that chapter, Christ gives this wonderful answer. Listen to the words of Christ. He says, "The things which are impossible with man are possible with God." Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, understand this, that I cannot forgive your sins. No preacher or pastor or minister can forgive sins. This church, or indeed any other church, cannot forgive sins. I cannot pardon iniquities, but praise God, the Bible shows you that God can forgive your sins, that God Almighty, God your Creator, God your Maker, can blot out all your sins and cancel your sins before His all-seeing eye. My, this was the news that Cornelius, this man, this Roman soldier, needed to hear. Why? Yes, I've already pointed out that he was a man that had a good character, a good standing amongst his fellow peers. But despite this, he was a sinner. Despite this fact, he was a man who had sinned against God in thought, in word, and in deed. And my, his sin had separated him from God. His sin was something that offended God, that grieved Almighty God. His sin was something that condemned him to a lost eternity in that place which the Bible calls and warns of, called hell. Friend, at our meeting tonight, just like Cornelius, you too, please understand this, are a sinner. A sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. What does the Bible say? And this includes every one of us in this meeting. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says there, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. In Psalm 51, David is giving a word of testimony about his own life. And he says this, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." What's he telling us? That he is born into this world a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice. There's only one sinless person ever to grace this world in this scene of time. Who was that person? It was God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was impeccable, who did no sin, who could do no sin. But as far as you and I are concerned, and indeed all the rest of mankind are concerned, what does the Bible say? It says, "Wherefore as by one man, that is Adam, and by Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, by that one man," the Bible says this, "sin entered into the world." And you and I, we are sinners by nature and by practice. And despite what the world says and what the world thinks, our sin is something that grieves God. Our sin is something that will bring ruin and heartache into our hearts and lives and souls. Our sin is something that separates us from God. Our sins are something that will bar us from heaven. There's no sin in heaven. And unless our sins are forgiven, our sins are such that they condemn us, each one, to a lost eternity in hell and the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible declares the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is how it was with Cornelius in his unsaved state. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're still unsaved, this is how it is with you. A sinner lost and undone before Almighty God, under the sentence of divine condemnation, on that broad road to a lost, Christless eternity. But I want you to see tonight the wonderful truth in this verse. The wonderful news in this verse before you tonight is this, that you can know all your sins forgiven by God. Notice what it says there, shall receive remission of sins. Notice that sins there is in the plural. You can know all your sins, every single sin that you've ever committed, forgiven and pardoned by Almighty God. What a blessing to know your sins all forgiven by God. Oh, notice here the reality of sins forgiven. But notice secondly tonight, notice the source of sins forgiven. Look again at what Peter says in this great verse. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." I want you to notice three words there. Notice those words, "through his name." And these words refer to Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Peter here is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was through his name, through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that Cornelius and all who had gathered with him in his house that day, that they, through him, that they could know their sins forgiven, put away, pardoned by Almighty God. And friend, in our meeting tonight unsaved, it is through that same name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that you can have and you can know all your sins forgiven by God. If you examine here the sermon that was preached by Peter in this house, you'll see that it was all about Christ. It wasn't about himself. It wasn't about man or man's religion or man's devices. It was all about Christ. He speaks of Christ being set apart by God to be the Savior of sinners. Look at how he begins verse 38 of the chapter. He speaks of Christ and he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice that word anointed. It means that Christ was set apart by God for this great work, this great task, making a way for men to have their sins forgiven. And friend, tonight, understand this. God's word is very clear in this. It is only through Jesus Christ and Christ alone that God can forgive and that God can pardon and blot out your sins. You think of those words that Peter uttered earlier on in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, as he spoke of Christ. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." His message was forgiveness only through the name of Christ. You turn the page from our Bible reading tonight over to Acts chapter 13, just over two chapters from our Bible reading. And here you have Paul preaching. He's preaching at Antioch. And you'll see there that the preaching of the Apostle Paul was the exact same as that of the Apostle Peter, speaking of Christ. And verse number 38 of Acts chapter 13, he says these words, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's the Lord Jesus, notice it, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Oh, understand this tonight, that there's no forgiveness of sins in ourselves, no matter how hard we may try. There's no forgiveness of sins in man or in the church or in the ordinances of the church. There's no forgiveness of sins through our good works, no matter how good we might find ourselves to be towards our neighbor. You think of Cornelius. His life was marked by good works, and that was commendable in his life. But that did not blot out his sins. That did not save him from his sins. You look again at Acts chapter 10 as Peter speaks further here of Christ. He says he's the means to peace with God. Look at his preaching there in Acts chapter 10 and the verse number 36. Look at what he says about Christ. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel," notice it, "preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." The Bible refers to Christ as the Prince of Peace, the source of all peace. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And my, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can have peace with God, your Maker. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that the enmity that exists between you and God can be removed and put away. You think of that lovely old hymn that we're singing earlier on. The hymn writer could speak of Christ and say, "Peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole," that they knew this peace in their life. Tell me, do you know that peace in your life, that peace with God through Christ? Notice something again there as Peter speaks further of Christ as Savior. He tells us that this is the testimony of the Scriptures. In other words, this is the message of the entire Bible. Look at how he begins the words of our text in verse 43 of Acts chapter 10. Speaking of Christ, he says, "To him give all the prophets witness." That's the Old Testament prophets, "that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." I encourage you tonight to read the Bible. read the Word of God from cover to cover, from Genesis in the Old Testament to Revelation in the New Testament. And you'll see the central message, the scarlet cord, throughout the entire books of the Bible, and throughout all the chapters and the verses of the Bible. And what is it? The Bible makes it very clear that it is only through Christ, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that God can forgive and blot out your sins. You think of that great promise that God gave to Adam when Adam fell into sin at the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he talked there about the seed of the woman. He said, the seed of the woman will bruise Satan's head. Who is that seed of the woman? It is Christ, who is miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and came into this world and went to the cross. Over in the New Testament, Paul is writing to Timothy, and what does he say? There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And my, this is the testimony of the Scriptures tonight. God's holy word, God's truth, that truth that is infallible, that is eternal, it is that it's through Christ alone that you can know your sins forgiven. You'll notice something else here that Peter preaches in his sermon. He tells us of what Christ actually did so that man can have his sins forgiven. Look at verse number 39 of the chapter, and in particular the very end of that verse when he speaks of Christ. He says of Christ, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And there he's speaking of the sinless Son of God dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood as a ransom to God and satisfying the justice of God and making a way, providing a way for man to have his sins forgiven. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, but this man, that's the man Christ Jesus, offered himself one sacrifice for sins forever. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness, no pardon. Praise God, the blood of Christ has been shed. Praise God, Christ came and was nailed to the cross willingly and gave up the ghost and cried out, it is finished, and poured out his life unto death and shed his blood for the remission of sins. The Bible says he died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And look again at something else Peter tells us here. He gives the proof that God accepted Christ's sacrifice as sufficient to save. And it's seen in the fact that God raised Christ from the dead. Not only did he raise him from the dead, but he appointed him to be the judge of all men at the end of time. Look at what he says about Christ in verse 40 of Acts chapter 10. He says, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And the fact that Christ rose from the dead is proof, it's evidence that God accepted the sacrifice of Christ on the behalf of sinners. Look at verse number 42. It says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained, if you like, foreordained or planned of God, what for? To be the judge of the quick, that's the living, and the dead at the end of time. And the fact that Christ has risen, the fact that he's coming back again to judge the quick and the dead, it's proof, it's evidence that the sacrifice of Christ is able to save you and deliver you from your sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Why, whenever you're sick, you go to the doctor for medicine and for healing? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only physician for your sin-sick soul. And he says, there's none beside me. And his precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary is the only medicine that can blot out your sins before Almighty God. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. This is what Christ has done. He's died upon the cross. He has rose again. so that you can know and a way can be provided for you to have your sins forgiven. Notice thirdly here from our text tonight, notice the reception of sins forgiven. Notice there in the middle of the verse, notice those words, believeth in him. In other words, by coming in faith as a repentant sinner to Christ, by trusting in his sacrifice and blood shed upon the cross alone for salvation, Cornelius, indeed all in his house that day, could be saved from their sins and have their sins forgiven. Friend, in our meeting tonight, it's the same for you. By putting your faith, by putting your trust in Christ as a repentant sinner, you too can know your sins forgiven. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Our shorter catechism says that faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Oh, to know all your sins forgiven, by faith alone you must receive Christ as your personal Savior. And my, you must rest by faith upon his blood alone shed upon the cross to wash away your sins. By faith alone, you must rest upon the perfect righteousness of Christ alone for your acceptance with God. That is how it was with David. For he prayed in Psalm 51, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He was asking the Lord by faith to cleanse away his sins. In Psalm 17, he could say, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He was resting, trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone for acceptance with God. Last year was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Whenever Martin Luther and others of his day and generation rediscovered this great truth, that they could know all their sins forgiven, that they could be declared right with God. How? By faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The hymn writer says, only trust him now, he will save you. He will save you now. Unsaved friend at our meeting tonight, I would encourage you, I would exhort you from this pulpit to come now by faith to Christ and rest upon him alone, trust in him alone for the forgiveness and the pardoning of all of your sins. That is how you are saved. That is how you enter into the experience of having your sins forgiven by coming as a repentant sinner to Christ and putting your faith and your trust in him alone. Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Notice something else here from our verse tonight. Notice the scope of sins forgiven. Look at what is said there by Peter in verse 43. He says to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. Notice that word, whosoever. One of the great gospel words that you find in the Bible. And there you see that forgiveness of sins is for every repentant sinner who trusts Christ as their Savior, whoever that person is. You think of this man here in the chapter, Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Roman soldier. He would have been a tough, hard man in his day. But here Peter tells him that by faith in Christ, as a repentant sinner, he could know and be assured of all his sins forgiven. And here you see the greatness of God's pardoning mercy. You read through the Bible and you'll read of the testimonies of people from many different backgrounds, many different walks of life, whom God has forgiven, whom God has pardoned, and whose sins God has blotted out. I think tonight of Rahab. She's described in the Bible as Rahab the harlot, an immoral woman. Yet we read about her in Hebrews chapter 11, and this is what it says about her. It says, by faith, The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. There was a time in her experience when she came as a repentant sinner to Christ and put her faith and trust in Christ, and she knew all her sins forgiven, blotted out by God. I think tonight also of the dying thief who is crucified beside her Lord, someone who would have been an outcast of society, and he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, remember me." And Christ said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He assured him of a place in heaven. Why? Because his sins were forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. I think tonight also of the publican that the Lord Jesus Christ tells you and I about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And he smote his breast and he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Christ says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." In other words, forgiven, pardoned, declared righteous before Almighty God. The publicans were tax collectors for the Roman army of occupation. They were considered to be worse than the very dogs of the street as far as the Jews were concerned. But God saved that publican. God forgave his sins. God pardoned his iniquities. And he fitted him for heaven. He saved him by his grace and power. Turning your Bible over, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look with me, please, at verses 9, 10, and 11. And here Paul is writing to those whose sins were forgiven in the Corinthian church. And I want you to see something of the background from which they had come from. And it shows you, it highlights the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful pardoning mercy of God to those who come in faith and repentance unto him for salvation. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then listen to these words. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Notice the mention there of the fact that they were justified. Their sins were forgiven. They were declared righteous in the sight of God, not by anything of themselves, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Their sins were forgiven. Their sins were pardoned. Their sins were blotted out by God Almighty. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is in this gospel meeting, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, if you come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, rest upon his sacrifice, rest upon his blood alone for the saving of your soul and the forgiveness of all your sins, what will God do with your sins? He will pardon them. He will blot them all out. And he will forgive them for time and for all of God's eternity. He says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake, and in forgiving all your sin, God will bless you with salvation. He will be with you in life. He will give you grace to live the Christian life. He will save you from a lost eternity in hell itself, and he will bring you one day into God's heaven, to be with himself forevermore." You think tonight and you ponder over these words of the Apostle Peter. When he speaks of Christ and says to him, "Give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And I trust and I pray tonight that this will be the portion of every soul in this meeting, young and old alike, men and women alike, that you will know as you lay your head on the pillow tonight and take your night's sleep that it is well with your soul, that your sins are forgiven, that they're put away, canceled out by the blood of the cross. and that you're saved by God's grace, and that you're ready for heaven. We're going to close our meeting.